From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Meager education, a criminal record, gaps in employment, all can stand in the way of getting a good job. Today we hear about two job training efforts in Baltimore. One at the Samaritan Women, a residential program for survivors of human trafficking, which launched a program for safe food handling and baking. The second at the nonprofit The Lazarus Right. Founder Christopher Irvin thinks Baltimore is uniquely situated to support careers in commercial driving. Graduate Kendall Bellamy describes his job driving for the city's Department of Public Works.
I'm basically a part of a crew. They have a bobcat. The bobcat gets all the trash in the different alleys in Baltimore City and loads it on my truck, and I go to the dump and dump it.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Meager education, a criminal record, gaps in employment, all these factors can stand in the way of getting a good job. Today we'll focus on job training, two efforts to bring a better future within reach for people overcoming challenges. In the second part of the show, we'll hear about an opportunity for people interested in being licensed to drive commercial vehicles like trucks and buses. First, the nonprofit The Samaritan Women is a long-term residential program in Baltimore for women who have survived human trafficking. Last year, the program celebrated a decade of helping women heal and build new lives. Now they're adding something sweet to that mission, biscotti, along with something useful, training to be certified in food safety. Susan Schneider is the Corporate Impact Director at The Samaritan Women. Thanks for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Also with us is Eddie, a resident of the Samaritan Women, who recently became food safety certified. Thanks for being with us.
You're welcome. It's nice to be here.
How did this program begin?
Over a cup of coffee. It was just an idea. We sat with our partner, Ned Atwater, who has been a longtime friend of Samaritan Women.
Ned Atwater of Atwater's Restaurants.
Yes, well known throughout Baltimore. He really is up on food trends and had a lot of ideas. And so we went to him and said, we have a commercial culinary kitchen, and we'd like to leverage that somehow. Looking around at all the resources, what can we do with this? And he led us down a conversation over a cup of coffee. But at the very end, he said, by the way, I've outgrown my hot house, and I could really use some land. Do you know anybody who has a couple of acres? I'd like to grow fresh kale and fresh lettuce. And we thought, we have a deal for you. You help us bring a baked good to market, and we will help you by giving you 2 acres of our farm. We have a 23-acre estate. And so Atwater's has a full-time farmer during farm season, which is March to October, on our property. And the kale salad—
Your property is in South Baltimore.
Yes, yes.
Right on the county line. The city,
very
city
much,
county
right,
line.
Right. And so they're just down the street from Atwater in Catonsville.
But somehow the project that you got involved in is not fresh produce. It's with biscotti.
So he could walk into our kitchen and say, I'll help you identify all the things that you need to finish out your culinary kitchen. I'll give you access to my vendors, and you can meet with them and set up your own arrangements. I'll let you come into my big kitchen and be trained by pastry chefs. And he walked with us as a corporate partner, as well as McCormick & Company. And they helped us in our recipe development for biscotti. We can't minimize the efforts of two Baltimore corporate partners who walked with a charity to get this product on the market.
Eddie, what flavors of biscotti do you all make?
Well, it actually ranges. We have our signature chocolate almond biscotti, which is out all year round. And then it ranges from red velvet to funfetti and pumpkin spice.
What is funfetti?
It is a sweet vanilla flavor with bright rainbow sprinkles and lightly iced with colorful crystal sprinkles.
What types of jobs require food safety certification?
Well, I can't stress how difficult the training is, and Eddie survived it. And not only did she survive it, she excelled. So she can describe what they learned. But National Restaurant Association states that anybody working with food and or water, and certainly service, to keep it safe must be certified. So that means anybody who wants to work in the restaurant as a sous chef, as a line prep, but also anyone in the beverage industry, persons at our corporate partner Coca-Cola, they would need this. Anybody working in restaurant chemicals would need this. Anybody who could potentially bring something unsafe into a kitchen or service area.
So what was hard about it? Susan said the training was hard. What was hard about it for you, Eddie? Or was it?
It wasn't necessarily hard. It was just a lot of information coming at you and in a short time. It ranged from temperature for food, proper sanitizing, and regulations for the kitchen.
How many women are doing the training?
So we have a variety of vocational training on our property. This is the only micro business. We have other internships. What I mean is we have offer the residents in a safe incubator type of environment an opportunity to work as interns in our staff offices. Say that somebody expresses an interest in being a bookkeeper. They could work in our finance office. Or Eddie is currently an intern in our development office. You could work in facilities and really explore opportunities. But we wanted to expand those opportunities by launching this micro business. So the women work 2 afternoons a week as paid apprentices in our bakery, where they get to really explore and really see how they're gifted, and then in a safe environment, take on that job description. I think, well, Eddie, you've really found out what a marketing genius you are and what a business person you are compared to your colleagues.
Tell us about that, Eddie.
Well, like Susan said, I'm a marketing intern, which involves making sure our budget is secure, conducting business meetings with community partners, and just math calculations. It just varies.
A big part of what you're learning goes beyond food safety, per se, to other business skills.
Right.
So we really are opening up opportunities. I think one of the other bakers has really shown an exceptional skill in quality assurance and quality control. If she is standing in that kitchen, the process is followed, we have no loss, and the yield is exceptional. We have another that does wonderful product development. She's doing all of our tastings. She's working with a corporate partner on exploring some savory biscotti. Who knew that this was gifted inside of her? I mean, it was knitted there into her, but she didn't have an opportunity to explore it until we launched this business. So the three of them, what do you call them? The triple threat, Eddie?
Yes.
They're the triple threat. And you just think of those skills. Yes, they can work in the restaurant business, but wouldn't anybody want an exceptionally well-trained quality control or quality assurance intern to come out of our program, maybe in a different industry, or somebody in product development or marketing skills?
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Susan Schneider, Director of Corporate Impact at the Samaritan Women, a residential program for survivors of human trafficking. Also with us is Eddie, a resident of the Samaritan Women. We're talking about the organization's new food safety certification program. Eddie, why did you decide to get certified in food safety?
I thought it was a good opportunity for growth and business skills I might need later on in life.
This program lines up with one of the goals of the Samaritan Women, to give women who have missed out on a lot of normal growing up opportunities to try different fields of work. Tell us about that.
We have many phases of our program. There are actually 5 phases from the very beginning when you are an intake through our third home is a graduate home. By the time that the women have moved through our 2-year program and move on to a 2-year graduate program, they've explored a lot of opportunities. One of our graduates found out that she loved the medical field, so she became certified medical assistant and now works in the medical industry. One loved working on the facilities. All of our homes are from the 1800s or early 1900s, so there's quite a lot of maintenance on the facilities. She now works full-time with tools and construction and with Home Depot. We have one I mentioned worked really well in the bookkeeper. She now works for Apple Computers. So in a safe incubator environment, the residents are allowed to explore things on our property and then during the graduate phase move on to work and take their internship and move it to externship. And I think that's the same thing that we're thinking for Eddie, to explore the opportunities in the bakery and think about how she'll apply them with our corporate partners.
Well, Eddie, that's what I wanted to ask you. How do you see yourself using the skills you've learned in this program at the Samaritan Women?
I think I was given the talents and gifts. I just now, I have the opportunity to use them for good. So I'm very grateful for that.
What went through your mind when you heard that there was going to be this apprenticeship making biscotti?
Well, I like to have a positive mindset always. So, you know, our future's looking really bright. You know, it's crazy how one idea can turn into a whole business in several months.
What do you think it means for women at the Samaritan Women to have this business?
It's a really good opportunity, like I said, to gather skills that you may or may not have had before.
I love the idea also, if I could add, that they have an opportunity to share their story in a different way, people that we will never meet. I mean, we don't have a bricks and mortar bakery where somebody can walk up and just buy the biscotti on our property. I mean, we do sell it through the website, and we are just this week, Eddie is actually doing all of our marketing lead and pitching to a cafe in Annapolis, and hopefully that will go well, and they'll begin carrying our product. But by designing the labels the way that Eddie worked with our graphic designer, and the labels tell the story of the women. And so somebody that will come and just enjoy the coffee companion of a piece of biscotti gets to hear the story or read the story, and we would never otherwise get our story out.
At least to that
individual.
To that consumer,
yes.
that person looking for a biscotti. How many biscotti do you produce?
Hundreds.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
They bake, the yield has gone exceptional. And I think our first few weeks, we had $1,000 worth of orders in our first few weeks because it was Christmas time. We launched just before Christmas.
Absolutely crazy.
Boxes and boxes. People would order
boxes
for all of their corporate friends. So we love doing that because they are in heat-sealed individual packages.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's definitely an ongoing process, but it never ends.
Are there any thoughts about expanding beyond biscotti?
I'm not sure yet. It is definitely something that I would like to look into and pursue. But right now, we're just looking to grow and expand the biscotti business first.
Thanks for telling us about it, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Susan. Susan Schneider is the Corporate Impact Director at the Samaritan Women. Eddie is a resident of the Samaritan Women. She recently earned her food safety certification. Quick break now on the record. I'm Sheila Kasper. When we come back, a commercial driving license is the gateway to a living wage. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR, become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Job training in the form of new skills or certifications can open doors for those who have had a hard time advancing their careers. Christopher Irvin founded the nonprofit The Lazarus Right, which provides job training and other services to get people into the commercial driving industry. Christopher Irvin joins us by phone. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The career path that The Lazarus Right trains participants for is to operate commercial vehicles like trucks and buses. Why this field of work?
Number one, it's one of the largest and growing fields in the blue-collar area, a field that doesn't require a college education, a field that doesn't require a lot of technical skill, but it is still available to people who are willing to work, who want to work, regardless of their background, be it academic, criminal, or what have you. It just gives people a chance to get out to work and allows them to continue to excel and exceed up to their potential.
tell us about your students. Who is a typical participant?
So our typical participants are people who have experienced the criminal justice system. Predominantly, they have felony records, largely nonviolent felony records. But we have also allowed people who have just had tough times because they face different barriers, maybe child support. Maybe they haven't had the best academic background themselves. And so while we're focused on former felons, we really want to give anyone a chance to increase their economic potential who has some barriers, but they are willing to put in the time to improve their prospects.
The name, the Lazarus Rite, comes from?
So it comes from the Bible. It comes from the story of Lazarus. I went to elementary schools that were religious-based, and so the story of Lazarus always stuck with me. Lazarus, who was brought forward by Jesus and told to go forth, tell his story. He was brought back from the dead, as they said. But the thing about the story that always grabbed me was that although he had been in the tomb for 4 days, supposedly, and obviously this is a biblical story, he had been in the tomb for 4 days, and at no point did it say that he was brought forward handicapped. He had all of his senses. He could see, he could hear. His arms, hands, legs, and feet worked properly, and he was told to go forth and tell his story. But with our returning citizens, as we call them, we put barriers in place that handicap them intentionally. We bring people forward, handicap them, and then expect them to be able to live up to their potential. At no point did we really consider the fact that when you send people forward handicapped, that does not benefit the community that you send them back to.
And so that's why you thought job training would be a way to send people forth fully functioning.
Absolutely. I'm sorry, because in our way of thinking, economics are usually at the root of crime. Poverty is at the root of crime. And so when people are able to provide for themselves and their families, it's not to say that it will extinguish all of the issues that a crime relate or relate to crime, but for the most part, it will largely positively affect the picture of crime.
How many students have gone through the program?
We're in our fifth class now, and we've signed up 16 per class.
So essentially about 80 people, 5 times 16.
Correct. It's been relegated to that. We've only had evening classes because I work during the day myself driving trucks.
And how long does the training take?
It lasts for 12 weeks, 3 times a week, for 2 hours per evening.
This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Christopher Irvin, founder of the nonprofit The Lazarus Rite, which trains participants for careers requiring a commercial driver's license, CDL. I want to introduce Kendall Bellamy, a graduate of The Lazarus Rite. He works for Baltimore's Department of Public Works. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Sheila.
Kendall, what motivated you to go for your commercial driver's license?
Basically, like Chris said earlier, I wasn't interested in college. You know, I did some schooling, but I wasn't really interested in that, and I really wanted to drive because I had a lot of experience driving, and I thought that that would be a better route for me. So I came across the Lazarus Rite program, and I really wanted that to be my lead way to go into the career that I wanted to go into.
I understand you used to work in traffic control?
Yes. I actually drove a crash truck for the company that I work for.
What does that mean, driving a crash truck?
Well, a crash truck is typically a vehicle that protects work sites on highways. So it actually has a tail on the back of the truck, and it raises down. And when it raises down, it makes the vehicle extra longer. But the tail is made out of titanium metal. So if a vehicle was to, you know, a drunk driver or anybody that, you know, has issues with driving, if they were to go on the side of the road and going to the work site, they would hit my vehicle first before they would hit anybody else. So it's basically a protection vehicle to protect the construction workers.
So if you can drive that, why do you need more training to drive commercial vehicles?
Because it increases not only the experience, but it also increases your revenue. Having a CDL, when you have a CDL, it opens
commercial
up more.
Driver's license.
Yes, it opens more doors for you. Because when you drive that, you don't need a CDL. The vehicle I talked about previously, you don't need a CDL to drive that. It has air brakes, but certain vehicles, if it's over a certain amount of weight, then you would need a commercial driver's license. but it also increases your chances of driving bigger vehicles and getting more money as well.
Sounds like you really see this commercial driving as a career.
Yes, I definitely do. That's definitely a career for me.
Christopher Urban, many people are skeptical of job training efforts since the training won't produce results unless there are jobs for people to get. What does the job landscape look like for people with commercial driver's licenses?
Commercial drivers are one of the fields that are not only largely in demand right now, but increasingly so. And the thing about what makes it so perfect for Baltimore in particular is Baltimore has access to the ports, so you have access to the water, you have access to rail, and you have access to highways. That's a very unique situation that makes it ripe for this particular field. When you have access to those three methods of travel, you will always have, especially in areas of blue-collar fields, you will always have a certain job pool to leverage, if that makes sense. For businesses to be able to access the rails, the waterways, and the highways, that is the optimum area to set up business in, especially for manufacturing and things of that nature.
When Christopher Urban just talks about this, Kendall, it almost sounds like a deeply kept secret because we talk so much about jobs not being available, and he's talking about a lot of jobs. Have you always thought that there were job prospects for you in this field?
Yeah, I definitely always thought about, you know, driving trucks. I never really thought about it that much until I actually became a part of the Lazarus Wright class. And when I became a part of the class, it actually really increased my abilities and my thinking as to saying that, yes, this is the route that I want to go. There's no other route that I want to go but driving trucks.
Tell me about the class. Tell me what you learned. Tell me what it was like.
Well, early on, we learned a lot. We learned a lot about the judicial system and things such as when you become a felon, you are no longer a citizen in this country. You're no longer a citizen. You're labeled as a criminal. And that right there alone can be a barrier in getting a job. And with the Lazarus Wright program, that's a program that really typically, like he said earlier, it focuses on people who have a felony record. Myself, I don't have a felony record, but I do have a record. My record doesn't stop me from, you know, getting different jobs, but I did have barriers such as child support, like he said earlier. I had barriers as things like enough experience, so I don't have the proper training. So that class allowed me to get, you know, the proper training that I need as well.
Well, yeah, driving big trucks is probably every little boy's dream, but what do you have to learn to do that? What was the hardest part for you in the skills of driving?
The hardest part for me was to get the turning down pat, because it's not the same as turning a regular vehicle. So when you turn a bigger vehicle, you have to turn out a little wider. You have to keep your eyes on your mirrors. You have to watch the rear tire, because if the rear tire goes over the curb the wrong way, you could actually blow your tire or you can tip your vehicle. So you have to make sure that when you're looking in your mirror and you're making a right turn or a left turn, you have to watch those back tires. But I got it down pat after a certain amount of days, you know, being trained.
Kendall, tell us about your job with DPW.
Well, right now I work for Department of Public Works, and what I do is I drive a dump truck. And the dump truck is used for, you know, bulk trash and, you know, things that are not able to be picked up by hand or by a broom. They're loaded onto my truck. I'm basically a part of a crew, and you have, you know, a crew leader. They have a bobcat. The bobcat gets all the large trash in the different alleys in Baltimore City and loads it on my truck, and I go to the dump and dump it.
Christopher Urban, there have been 5 classes. What kind of changes have you seen? What kind of impact do you think you're having?
The main thing that has impacted me in response to watching the class is, as Kendall mentioned, we go through things before CDL. CDL is actually the culmination of our training. Our first phase is actually a 3-phase process, and in our first phase, we focus on individual growth. And I don't want to give away all of the ingredients in the recipe, but some of the things that we work on are things such as critical listening. We try to encourage them and give them some skills at being a better individual. And then in the second phase, we work on how this new individual interacts with their community, the community being at first the family, and at, from a larger perspective, the community. And so we teach them some things like civics and social science. And so watching the light bulb come on, especially as it relates to being former felons, we teach them about policy and how policy governs the environment that we live in. When we see that light bulb come on in their eyes, and now they understand their role in the society and the impact that they can have when they engage that society, that's been the greatest impact for me, and that's been the fuel to my fire.
Well, I'm grateful to you both for telling us about this. I wish you luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Christopher Irvin founded the nonprofit job training program, The Lazarus Right. Kendall Bellamy is a graduate of the program at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. We have more information about The Lazarus Right. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.